This is Karen Lyle in London today with a Salesport Talk spotlight on the world of professional racing. It is March 28, 2023, and it has been exactly 1 year since the announcement that Barcelona had secured the venue rights as the host city for the 37th America's Cup. Following the signing of the agreement, work has been ongoing transforming the Port Vale and Port Olympic areas ready to host the competing teams who are setting up bases and will be on-site starting this summer. Around the Port Vale, building work is now apace as the construction of the team's bases take shape. For the teams themselves, winter training has been an intense period with new boats launched, new design ideas coming to fruition, and sailing techniques honed through long hours on the water. The Defender of the America's Cup was the first to receive and launch the exciting new AC-40 yachts in Auckland for the Youth and Women's America's Cup. This will be a very strict one-design format that will reward the talent of the next generation of sailors in the world. Let's listen to what two of these new sailors have to say about these boats. The humming you hear in the background is the sound of these boats foiling at high speeds on the water.
I just can't get enough. It's awesome sailing. It's really fun. I can't wait for more people to get on them, especially youth and the women. They're so fun. They're like a bit of a go-kart, so it's going to be some awesome racing, and I think it's really going to make that big step up in skill sets, which is going to be so good.
They're nothing like I've ever sailed. They're foil fast, and the foils are super cool to learn about and get a hang of, so just looking forward to keep learning and keep asking questions from the guys and having a bit of fun.
SailGP will be returning to the San Francisco Bay for the final championship race of its third season. I asked Ben Ainslie in San Francisco last year about the currents in the San Francisco Bay and their impact on his racing. Let's listen to his answer.
The currents here are stronger, I think, than pretty much any of the other venues that we go to. And it's quite critical in terms of the effect it has on the wind across the course. And so that's an interesting element to the racing here. But it's always surprising here quite what an impact it has on the wind. As the current changes, it changes inshore first, and it really does impact the breeze, especially along this city shoreline.
SailGP San Francisco will be held on the 6th and 7th of May in San Francisco for the third season championship race. Going into this race, the leaderboard is Australia and Tom Slingsby number 1, New Zealand and Peter Burling number 2, France and Quentin de la Pierre number 3, Emirates Great Britain and Ben Ainslie number 4, Denmark and Nikolai Sehested number 5, Canada and Phil Robertson number 6, United States and Jimmy Spithill number 7, Switzerland number 8 and Spain number 9. But as we have seen in the previous SailGP races this season, anything can happen on the water, so the last race is yet to be won. This is Karen Lyle with SailSport Talk Spotlight.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Great to have you with us. And when you hear Christopher Cross, do we have both our guests ready? We do have just Karen? Okay, Karen Lyle is with us. Karen, we're waiting on Commodore Chris Arscott, is that right?
Yes, I tried to loop him in, but Dominic's working on it. So it's you and me, Rick.
All right, tell us more about the topic today, which is the Royal Western Yacht Club.
Well, the Royal Western Yacht Club is actually in Plymouth in England, and it is called the Royal Western Yacht Club of England, I guess, to distinguish it from something over in our part of the world.
There's one in Scotland, too, probably, yeah.
Yes, and there's that too, right? Mm-hmm. And it's more than 200 years old. They were actually scheduled to do their 200th anniversary, and then the pandemic happened. So they had to cancel that plan. But they created three really significant races over here in this part of this side of the pond. One is something called O-Star, which is a one-man, one-boat, and the ocean. It actually started in 1956, and then 1960, I think, was the first race, and there was someone named Blondie Hassler who became interested in the challenges of offshore single-handed sailing, and this was before Robin Knox Johnson, whom you and I know both, went on his round the world. So they were kind of the pioneers in this whole thing.
So I think what we should stress is that you're over there right now, Karen.
I am in London, yes, and I'm not actually in Plymouth, which is where this wonderful, illustrious yacht club is, but that's about a 2.5-hour train ride for me if I were to hop on the train to go over that way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there. So I've been having a great time over here in England. I obviously was going to stay 2 weeks, and I stayed 3 instead.
So isn't that nice to be independently wealthy? I admire it.
Either that or foolish. Which it is.
What are some of the things that you, I mean, because you and I have been there several times, not to brag, I guess I just did brag, but what are you doing?
It's okay.
I know. What are you doing that you've not done before?
Oh, many things. This last week, I went to the King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery.
Wow.
And that is the beautiful horses and chargers and whole army battalion that basically bring the guns that do the ceremonies for the birthday and the celebrations for the king and the queen before that. And it was called the King's Troop because it was part of the many battalions of horses back in the day. I think this was about 70 years ago, and our late queen's father went and inspected and saw how marvelously precise and wonderful they were at what they did, and he said, we're going to cross out this and call it the King's Troop. And so it was kept with that name in honor of him. And they have so many people that put that together. I went to a saddler's, the master saddler, and saw how all the saddles are made, to the tailor, and saw how all the uniforms that they have actually are built upon actually being armor, and the way that they, you know, those little white pieces of braiding across the chest. If you look at one of these uniforms up close, it's very, very stiff, and it actually can, you know, resist probably bullets of a low speed. I'm sure that what we have now is a little bit more powerful. But then I got to meet the horses, and they all have unique names. One I took a picture with was Paul, but they also have names that come from historical sources, and the horses change, but the names remain the same, and for the different roles that they are in carrying, you know, they have horses in front that are the leaders, horses close to the wheels, and then the centers, which are in the middle. Anyway, I love horses, actually. You might have guessed.
So how about your love for pianos? Are you checking out any British pianos?
Well, actually, I did have a conversation with David Crombie, who does a World News report. He is out of, he grew up in Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so he keeps a record of all of these wonderful historical pianos. And from time to time, I report on things that have come through piano finders that we've brokered, and he will send it out to the world through his report. So we had a little conversation, and I found out he's a windsurfer, which is something I didn't know. Having communicated with him for over 40 years, I didn't know that he was a windsurfer until I came here and started talking about sailing.
So what do you, by the way, with Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com, she's in England right now, what do you think about sailboarders? Are they sort of cousins to sailors, or are they just wild men and wild women that have nothing to do with it?
You know, I think cousins, because you're dealing with, anytime you're dealing with waves, the ocean, wind, you know, the forces of nature, I think that anyone who's on the water is related in some way, because, you know, the ocean doesn't change. We just change the way that we react to it.
All right. Tell me more about the West End. Have you gone to any shows?
Tomorrow, I'm going to go see Harry Potter and the Harry Potter musical that they have in the West, and I guess at the Palace. So, and it's actually a 5-6 hour show. It's divided
what?
Into two segments. Yeah. You start at 2:00 in the afternoon, you have 2.5 hours, and you take a dinner break and come back at 7.
Wow. It's a double feature, huh?
It is a double feature, and I'm really looking forward to it. I happen to be a Harry Potter fan.
By the way, Dominic is saying that his line is engaged, so unless there's another way to get him, it looks like it's just going to be you and I. We were trying to get a hold of Commodore Chris Oscott of the Royal Western Yacht Club. How did you get involved with him and this topic today, Karen?
Well, basically, the In and Out Navy and Military Club has reciprocal privileges. And when I first came out here, I went to the Royal Malta Yacht Club on a referral from the In and Out Club. And the way these private clubs work is that if you have, if the clubs know each other and the Commodores know each other over time, they develop relationships and they say, hey, if your members are over in our neck of the woods, then you can, your members can use our club as though it were their own. And then our members, when they come to your club, can use your club as though it were their own. And there's usually, there can be some restrictions on how that's put together based on the individual relationships. But some of these relationships go back 100 years.
And well, so good news, members, Karen, not to interrupt you, but we have got a hold of Commodore Chris Oscott. He is from the Royal Western Yacht Club. And Chris, welcome to the show. Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. What is it like to be the steward of something that goes back to the time of Queen Victoria? And he's disconnected.
Oh, no.
Usually long intros, yeah. He's using a phone from Queen Victoria's time as well.
Maybe so. We had a lovely conversation with no interruption earlier today, which I think was about 1 o'clock in the morning for you, because we're 8 hours ahead over here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, as we're, I guess we're waiting for Dominic to connect him again, I should tell you about the next race that was started. It was the two-star race, and that was a two-handed transatlantic race. And just to give you an idea, that when this first race, the O-Star, was started, there were so many boats that wanted to be in it that there was a protest from the local, the authorities, saying that it was too massively oversubscribed, is what they call it, because so many competitors wanted to be part of it and there wasn't enough room on the water. So they made another race called the two-star race for that could have larger boats, and we're talking boats that are up to 85 feet. So 150 entries, I mean, just a massively impressive show of boats on the water. I would love to see this race in person. It looks absolutely beautiful, especially when they get the spinnakers out, and those are the really colorful sails that you see out in the front of the boats when they're going, usually downwind or with the wind behind them.
By the way, Karen, I not to interrupt you. There's no place like home, as Dorothy said, but it's just rainy and horrible out here. Why would you come home? Why wouldn't you just stay there?
You know, I have had hardly any rain at all. I think I left it behind. There was just a little bit of a sprinkle, and pretty much it's been, you know, I mean, London skies, but we did have a few days when the sun peeked through, and I think that
right. Well, what I'm saying is, why would you come home? You should just stay there. I mean, it's the, I'm, you know, me, I love London.
I have considered it. You know,
back here is rotten.
It might be that I'm coming over here every couple of months. You just never know. I've had a delightful
time. Where do you stay when you're there, may I ask?
I stay at the In and Out Club. So they have about
good hamburgers.
No, not as that. It's the In and Out Navy and Military Club. And you know why it was called that? Was because back in the days of horses and carriages, is that they had to mark it so that the horses and buggies went in one way and out the other so they wouldn't crash.
Wow.
And so then it just got called the In and Out Club.
Is that because you're sailing brethren and you have the hookup, or are you just can anybody go online and just reserve a place there?
No, you have to be a member and or a guest of a member for the private clubs. The rooms are basically for the members to have a place to stay in. And there's members, like I just met a lovely member from Gibraltar who flew over here. When he's in London, he's staying here at the club. And I've had others that I've met, you know, from Portsmouth and from, mm-hmm. From you know, all around Scotland, actually.
What part of London are you in?
It is Westminster. So
oh, you're right there.
I mean, it's 4 St. James Square.
Wow.
And so it has a formal entrance, which is on the side where you have all the posh shoe stores and gentlemen's clothing stores. Not many women's professional clothing stores on that side, but just absolutely beautiful clothes. And then on the other side is Piccadilly Circus. So I can just walk to either direction and get an entirely different flavor of London.
Well, I just looked at pictures of the In-N-Out Naval and Military Club, the grand staircase, it looks posh beyond belief. Well done, Karen. We've been speaking with Karen Lyle of SalesportTalk.com. One more episode from England, or are you heading back?
I'll be heading back on Thursday, but we'll see. You never know.
Well, I'll just
whatever I'm going to be doing, it's going to be Salesport Talk. It's somewhere in the world.
All right, Karen, be well. We'll see you soon.
Okay, that sounds great.